is, what's it up in last?
Okay, so we're doing a few points here. So one question is you have machlokas between the Ramban and I guess Rabbeinu Tam and others. Is if a person, if you do tekiah, if you're trying to do tekiah, really we hold you, there's no problem with hafzik. So you can do your tekiahs all day long. But what about if in the middle of your tekiah, true tekiah, you introduce a shvarim? So according to the Ramban, he says, yeah, but you messed up your the order because you have to have a tekiah before and after the truah. And now you're introducing an alien sound. So it's true, you could wait and you could have gaps and you could do whatever else you want to do, but don't do a blowing for mitzvah. That's going to mess up the whole order. Whereas apparently according to Rabbeinu Tam, he's not bothered by that. He holds it's fine. It's not a habit. We don't care about hafzik. Who cares whether it's another sound or it's any other thing? Hafzik isn't a problem. Right, so we wanted to find that. In fact, I was going to say, I just saw that this morning, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, what do we do during the private Shmona Esrei, right? Shmona Esrei, we do Tekiah, Shvarim, Chua, Tekiah, we do Tashrat, Tashad, and Tarad at each one, right? We do each of the sets at each one. Now, some people have the minhag of doing, because in theory you want to have the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar in the Shmona Esrei. Okay, three sets in the Shmona Esrei. So some people in the minhag is that in Malchios they do Tashrat, in Zechronos they do Tashat, and then in Shofar they do Tarah. Right? I don't know if nowadays they have that, but they bring it down. Some have that minhag. And the Rabbeinu Tam was against it, because he said, I think Rabbeinu Tam was against it, he says, because then you're not doing three sets of anything. Because if it's Tashrat, then you only have one. If it's Tarah, you only have one. If it's Tashat, you only have one. And the whole point is you want to have that each of Malchios and Shofar, you want to have to give a mitzvah. Right, so he says, what are you doing by splitting it up like that? Right? So rather, Rabbeinu Tam did Tashrat in each. Tashrat, Tashrat, Tashrat. And he argued, because look, if it's Tashrat, you got it. If it's Tashat, you also have it. Now it's true you have a hafzik, and the Chachili, you're not supposed to make a hafzik, but it's better to do hafzik than not to do it at all. So he did Tashrat, he did Tashrat, 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 Tashrat in each other. You know, but he held it's not hafzik, and even if it's Tashat, it's not hafzik, because we held there's no problem with hafzik. So that's, but according to Rabbi Rabban, that was fine. Once you do that, once you do another call, it's gonna break it up. Okay, so maybe like this is similar to what Chaim's saying, but maybe it's a little different, you let me know. But the idea is that, see, we say that you're allowed to have, you could have the nine sounds all spread out throughout the day. Okay, see, because here's the problem. It's like, initially you would have said, there's three sets of tekiah, tshuah, tekiah. Tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, three sets. That's the mitzvah, right? But now you see the halacha that they can really be spread out throughout the day, all day long. So, well, how do you understand that? Do you say that that means that simply there's no phenomenon of sets? Really, it's nine sounds. Okay, nine independent sounds. Tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, tshuah, tekiah. Now, there's an order. They must go in that order. That within the order, you must have a teruah sounded surrounded by a tekiah on both sides. But that's simply a phenomenon of order, sequence. The order must be that each teruah has a tekiah on both sides. Okay, that's the order of the nine sounds. But essentially, they're nine sounds. You can do it all day long. So you see, it's not. There's no idea of like a unit. Like one tributa, for instance, it was definitely as a unit. One blowing, right? But then we all know it could be all day long. We spread out throughout the day. So does that mean that simply there is no entity? The entity is a kol. Nine, there's nine kolos, nine sounds. Okay, again, and all there is order. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. So I don't care if you introduce other sounds in the middle. The point is, the mitzvah is these nine sounds. And you did tekiah, let's say tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, tekiah, tekiah. And you put a shvarim in the middle. Okay, fine, so that doesn't count. That's not the mitzvah. There's nine separate kolos. The nine of mitzvah are the ones which count. And they're in the right order. They are in the right order. Tekiah, tshuah, tekiah, that's order. Now, the fact that you put a shvarim in there, which is altogether nothing to do with anything, is irrelevant. And even if you did two tshuahs, if you did tekiah, tshuah, tshuah, tekiah, let's say. It's a big deal. So one of the tshuahs is not supposed to go in there. As long as you end up having your nine sounds in order, you can ignore everything else. So you have the mitzvahs to blow nine independent things. And there's a sequence of those nine things. But if you want to add in other things, I mean, they're not going to help you, they're not going to hurt you. As long as by the end of the day, you check off your nine allegations. Right? That's the Rabban. Ramban says no. The halacha of that your teruah must be surrounded by tekiyos is not simply a phenomenon of order, but rather the mitzvah is to produce three sets. And you know, you said something like this a few days ago: three sets of tekiyah tshuva tekiyah. Three sets. That's the mitzvah. Three sets of tekiyah tshuva tekiyah. But even though they're sets, we hold that they could be separated in time. Because since they're all the yom is the time of the mitzvah, as long as the chiyuv still exists, they could be mitzvah from now together. As long as the chiyuv takes place in the entire yom, and as long as they're without the end of the day, so they'll be mitzvah together because of the chiyuv, which relates the entire day as the time of the doing the mitzvah. So therefore, the fact that you can do it all day long doesn't mean that there's no phenomenon of a sat. It's just an individual kolos within order. But there's a phenomenon of sets. This is three sets. It's just that the sets could span lengths of time because the day will be inside for everything together. We'll join them together. But if you say the mitzvah is to produce three sets, then if you introduce a shvarim in the middle, so now you don't have a set anymore. The set is tarat. So as long as you want to play baseball in the middle, that's fine. Do other stuff, who cares? Because the point is that your set is tkiyah tshuva tkiyah. And the gaps will be filled in. And so far as tekiyah mitzvah shofar, anything else that you do is a gap. But you can't say a shvarim is a gap. A shvarim is also a blowing of mitzvah. You're blowing it for the purpose of mitzvah. So basically now you're producing a set, not of tekiyah sound, truah sound, tekiyah sound, but of tekiyah sound, shvarim sound, truah sound, tekiyah sound. So now you don't have an entity anymore. Your entity of your truah is no longer pshutel fin alachar, it's no longer surrounded by the tekiyah. So even if you squeeze out the time gaps, the point is now your entity is of a set is corrupt. Or if you do tekiyah truah, truah tekiyah. So now you don't have an entity. The set is one truah with two tekiyahs on both sides. You don't have that anymore. So Rabban's saying is that when we say there's no hefsek problem, we don't mean to discount the phenomenon of a set. There is a set. It's just that the set could be unified, could be joined via the yom. But that's fine if it's just a problem of gap. But not if you introduce an extraneous element in the set, then you lose your set. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no. The fact that you can do it all day long, how can you do it all day long? Apparently he argues, look, if it's a set, then it should have to be joined together. How can you do it all day long? All day long means there's no phenomenon of a set. What's the idea of the order? The order is just that, it's order. So there's nine throughout the day. There's no unit of a set. It's just nine separate sounds. But there's an order to them. So as long as you have the order. So I don't care if you do other stuff. The other stuff doesn't belong. And it's not part of the order. So just ignore it. Yeah, so just back to just one thing. I don't really get too far into this. But I was talking with... I learned a Zimmer. So I was talking this over with them. The question we left with yesterday about Rabbeinu Tam. You know, he says, L'chachila, you know, you're not allowed to be masek, right? You're not allowed to, for some reason. You're not allowed to, even though you're still involved in the sound, right? You're not allowed to do it. So he thought maybe you could say, is we don't know the wonder why. He says, maybe you could say is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, there is a kiyum of having a set. It's like the mitzvah of Mubachar is that you do three sets. The ultimate way to perform the mitzvah is that's three sets. Now it's true, halachically you don't have to do that, and halachically it's just nine sounds, so that's the basic mitzvah is just nine sounds. But it's a kiyum to do them as sets. And the question why, perhaps, the three sets are based on Machiav Rashi, who says the three sets are based on Machiav Chos and Shofos. They reflect Machiav Chos and Shofos. So it could be it's a kiyum to do it in a way that brings out the Machiav Chos and Shofos. But that's just like the more speculative. But halachically, the point is there any time at all, it's a kiyum to have sets. Even though you say that it's the nine separate kolos, it's a kiyum to produce three sets. Therefore, you're not allowed to lechatchila knock that out.
Kim what?
To have sets, to have three sets. With a set that comes without absent.
What?
Again, the mitzvah min hamovchar to do the mitzvah to blow the nine kolos has three sets. So it's true because in terms of the chiyuv, it's definitely three truas, each of which has the kiel from alachra. But halachically, he says it's not set up as a din of a set. That's just like the idea behind it. But halachically, it's just nine separate sounds, and they have a seder. But it's a kiyum to do it in a manner which you have sets. It's a kiyum, it's mitzvah minimum of part to do it. The model, the way that the mitzvah is set up is three sets. It's just that it's not maket. So it works even if it's not done as sets. But it's a kiyum to do it as sets. So it's speculative. Why would there be a kiyum? What kind of kiyum is that? It could be the real mitzvah. Since the three is based on Machas HaShofros, at least Rashi says that. So what you can say is that it's a kiyum to do it in, you know, to do it in a way which manifests the, which not which manifests, but which is in line with the idea of Machas HaShofros. It's three sentences. It's three units. But you can take it or leave it. I'm not so sure about it. But the point is, see, that's like a way to go. Like we said yesterday, it's a kiyum to do it. It could be the kiyum is, he holds that it's a kiyum to do it, as that's. So it's a mitzvah and a mokar, is to do it as that's. Okay, but let's leave that guy. Still, I like the question better than the answer. Okay, so let's move to the next thing. Okay, so the next thing is the Rashba. Okay, if you remember, this is at the end yesterday, but if you recall that you have Shvarim, you have to be careful to do the Shvarim in a way that the Shvarim aren't too long. Like Tosa said, you can't do Shvarim longer than Tekiah, than the minimum Tekiah. So if your minimum Tekiah is 3 beats, you got to make sure your Shvarim are less than 3 beats. Right? Because otherwise it becomes Tekiah. Right? The Rashba says no. You can do your Shvarim longer than the minimum tekiah, as long as you make sure that you do your tekiahs longer. As long as you make sure you do your tekiahs longer. So that's fine. As long as you lengthen your tekiahs, you can make your Shvarim longer also. But maybe Tom, Tosa didn't go for that. Tosa said, no, once you're doing, you gotta make sure your Shvarim are not longer than the minimum tekiah, because then they're gonna become tekiahs. So you want to lengthen your tequilas, who cares? You can do whatever you want, but it doesn't, it's not going to affect the quality of the sound. The sound of Shvarim's, once it's longer than the minimum tequila, becomes a tequila. So the question is, what's the machlokas? I mean, the Rashba seems difficult. The point is, tequila is 3 seconds, let's say. And you're playing Shvarim in 3 seconds. You know, you blew your, this tequila is more than, 6 seconds. Yeah, but the point is, that the shear of tequila is 3 seconds, so if you did it, if you're Shvarim that long, then it doesn't become a tequila. So here's a good step. I think maybe we go further, okay? Which is kind of what you're intuiting, you know, right? But the first step, which I guess the guys, right? I mean, everyone's kind of saying this type of thing, is that how do you define, I guess, a Shvarim and a Tekiah? According to the way we understand it. So according to the normal way, Rashi, right? So basically, Shvarim is defined as a certain sound. Broken sound, tekiah is defined as a straight sound, and they have definitions in their own right. So tekiah is 3 seconds. Shvarim is each 1 second, you know, or anywhere between 1 second and less, and a teruah. I mean, every sound has a definition. So the minimum of tekiah is defined as 3 seconds, so then it can't be a shvarim if it's 3 seconds. If you do 3 seconds, it's not shvarim anymore. Tekiah is an objective definition as 3 seconds, and a shvarim means broken, so it's shorter than 3 seconds. Right? There's an objective shear. The Torah set up a shear for tekiah. Shear for tekiah is, let's say, 3 seconds. So shvarim is a broken sound. So what does broken mean? Broken means less than the shear, less than tekiah. So each one has to be defined. That has to be less than tekiah. Right? Whereas some of the Rashba is saying is that the definition of tekiah and shvarim, they're like defined relative to one another. So the tekiah is a blast, and shvarim is like the broken tekiah. Whatever your tekiah is, your shvarim is relative to that. Right? Shvarim is a straight, is broken sound, and tekiah is a straight sound. So, but the definition of the sounds is even though there's a minimum of a blast, but shvarim is defined like it's relative to your tekiah. So if your tekiah is longer, and your shvarim is it could be longer. Your shvarims are longer, you gotta make sure your tekiah is gonna be longer. But you have to define straight sound and broken sound, not independently, but so to speak, relative to one another. The thing is a little bit difficult, or what needs further elucidation, is that if I just told you those two choices, well, which one would you think is would you go for? Exactly, I think so. It's good. On the surface, the problem is why would you say that they're defined relative to each other? I mean, there's tekiah, trua, shvarim, and trua. So why would you say, like, the definition of the thing is like each thing should have a definition. I understand saying the definition may be, they may be relative definitions, but it's not going to be relative to my particular action of blowing a tekiah or trua. So I can understand saying is that the definition of shvarim is less than tekiah. But but it doesn't, it's not going to go as each time I blow it. I mean, a shvarim has to have a definition. So if you want to say, well, how long is it, or whatever, it should be, even if you want to say shvarim is less than the fixed objective to tekiah. And the fixed tekiah is a certain length, and the fixed shvarim is a third of that, or whatever. But to say that the sound is going to be defined, it doesn't have like a fixed definition, but it's just defined relative to the other one, to the one which happens to be right before or right after it. It's like a funny, why would you say such a thing? Although it seems like the evidence is pointing towards that kind of a thing, which is the Rashba's Chiddush, it seems like it demands somewhat of a defense to just posit that. Right? So maybe this goes back to something we said some time back, which is that, if you remember, the question is, well, we did the machlokas, what is Trua? Is Trua Shvarim or is Trua Trua? Right? Trua we call Trua. Okay? And we noticed is that the Trua means a broken sound. And the question is, a Trua, what we call Trua, is objective, intrinsically broken. It has no length to it at all. Right? It's intrinsically a broken sound. But Shvarim isn't intrinsically broken. A Trua is just a sound. It's a straight sound. And it's only broken in comparison to the Tekiah. Right? When you compare it with a blast, it's broken. But if you're just in its own right, it's just a sound. It's not broken. But you're doing three shvarims, meaning comparatively relative to the tekiah, it's broken. Right? And we said, look, it's good that it's relative to the tekiah, but you're blowing it with the tekiah. You never just blow a shvarim. If you were just blowing a trua, mitzvah word, just blow trua in its own right, then definitely would have been trua, not shvarim, because shvarim is not broken. It's only, bro, shvarim only gains its characteristic of being broken when you compare it to the tekiah. Right? In its own right, it's not a broken sound, it's just a straight sound. And you're blowing three straight sounds, how is that a broken sound? So his whole existence as a broken sound, as a cry, as a broken sound, is relative to the tekiah. Right? And that was why we said the force to argue that trua means trua, not shvarim. Right? Okay. So since that's the case, but if you say shvarim, so it means the Torah selected a cry or a broken sound whose brokenness comes together with the tekiah. So you're blowing a tekiah, and we said the force is because you blow a blast on a shofar. So you blow a straight blast, and then you blow broken. Right? So the idea is like the shvarim's identity as a broken sound is in contrast to the tekiah. Right? And therefore, the Rashba holds that the definition of a shvar, it doesn't have an independent definition. Because independently, it's not really a shvarim. It's not a broken sound altogether. Independently, it's just three sounds. How is that a broken sound altogether? So the whole identity as a shvarim means that it's defined, it's broken. You blow a tekiah, a tekiah, and then you break it. Then you blow a broken tekiah. In other words, it exists on the heels of the tekiah that you just blew, and in contrast to the tekiah that you just blew. So the trua, the identity of the shvarim as a broken sound exists in contrast to the tekiah, and therefore, as long as relative to your tekiah, it's the broken sound, it's three broken sounds, and that's the sound. Whereas the others argue that it's true that the idea of why shvarim is a broken sound is because it's broken in contrast to a tekiah, but there the Torah was koveya, it fixed a shvarim as a broken sound. And a shvarim means where you have three sounds, each of which is less than a minimum blast. So it's true, it's based upon the fact that it exists in contrast to tekiah, but the Torah fixed it as a broken sound, which means a sound which is less than the minimum blast. You know, the Rashba's Chiddush is that since the whole identity of the Shvarim is as a broken sound, is based upon its comparison with the true tekiah which precedes and follows it, so therefore its definition as a Shvarim is relative to the tekiah and Shvarim. Before and after. Again, the Rashba says, no, the others argue, no, that's true, that's why shvarim is defined as broken, but the Torah therefore fixed a length which defines it as a shvarim. Didn't leave it open-ended. The reason why it's defined as true is because it will exist with the tekiah on both sides, but there the Torah fixed a shiur which said this sound, this length is broken. Why is it broken? Oh, because it's a third or it's less than the blast. So it has to be less than the objective blast. The fact that you have a long blast, yeah, but it's not a broken sound anymore. I mean, I think I'm saying for the long lines you guys were suggesting, but I'm just saying it a little further, giving like more teeth to the thing and where it's coming from. It's not just like, is it defined that independently as independent sounds, or is it relative? Definitely, it's at its core, it's only a broken sound because of the relative comparison to Tzitzit. But do you say the Torah left it that way, so to speak, and it's defined, the Shvarim's definition is relative to the Tekiah? Its brokenness is the relative to the Maisa Tekiah, which actually precedes it? Or do you say, no, that's why the Torah has the character of Shvarim, but the Torah objectified it and fixed it based upon Shiur. And the length is the length, which is less than the minimum Tekiah, and then it's fixed. In a certain sense, the Rashba is more natural, in line with the idea of what the nature of what Shvarim is. But on the other hand, the other Rishonim are more in line with like a scientific, like a formalization, more formalized. I just want to mention one more point. I'm not really sure I have the best answer for it, but I have an approach. But that is that the Rav Haigon. Okay, Rav Haigon holds that really, he argues with everything we've been learning. Okay, and essentially he says that really when the Torah says Yom Truah Yelachem, should be the day of Truah, it doesn't really matter which kind of crying you do. You could either do Shvarim or True or Shvarim True, it's all good. Again, we've been learning it means one of them. And it's a machlokes as to which one, and therefore we do them all to cover our bases. Right? That's the way we've been learning. That's the way everyone else learns. But that's not the way Rav Haigon learns. Rav Haigon posits a chiddush. I mean, they quote it as Rav Haigon's chiddush. No, Rav Haigon. He said, and no, the reason why there's such a machlokes, because he says, like the question is what? All of a sudden, Rav Avohu decided that there's a suffix and now we don't know what Tekiah is. Why didn't anyone know what Tekiah is? What's true? What is it? How could we not know this kind of thing, you know? You don't know what it is? What does it sound like? How could it be? Right? The Rambam says it's because there's like the Gullus. He says that we were persecuted and like blowing shofar is a loud thing. You can't do it in private. So there were many generations where we just couldn't blow it and therefore we lost exactly what it was. But Rav Haigon doesn't accept that. And he says, I'll tell you why there's such a discrepancy amongst what the sound is. Because really, any of the sounds are good. And therefore, different communities, and Torah says crying, it means cry. What kind of cry? Who cares what kind of cry? I don't know. Whatever kind of cry you want. And certain communities did the Truah cry, certain communities did Shvarim cry, certain the community did Shvarim Truah cry. And Rav Avohu says, oh, this looks bad. People are going to get confused. People are going to think that you're not being used to them. It's sort of these people, our town is better, our town is doing it right, your town is doing it wrong. And people just didn't like it. So what he did is he unified it all. And he set it up that everyone does everything. And this way there's no problems. No confusion. Okay? And then he has to read. The Gemara's are hard to read, according to him. It's not so simple. Whatever. There's no problems. Okay? But whatever it is. But my question is, like, we have machlokas here. Is when the Torah said Yom Truah, did it mean something very specific? Whatever that specific thing is.
But or just meant, mean, or was the point or just to cry?
Or just to cry, exactly. Or just to cry. That's an achlokas. Now on the surface, which one of these sounds better? On the surface, Rav Haigon is a chiddush, because Torah doesn't work that way. I mean, Torah is a halachic, a scientific, a legal system. Torah says cry. Well, there's a lot of cries. But Torah just left it open-ended, whatever you want. I mean, that's not, in general, that's not the way halacha operates. I mean, they're different. They're different types of cries. So the Torah is setting up a Maisa Mitzvah where it's not really telling you what the Mitzvah is. It's just like leaving it open-ended. Open-ended. You like take a fruit. I sort of go, whatever, any fruit. I mean, it's not a Mitzvah. Mitzvahs have a form. Mitzvahs are specific and precise. So say crying. Yeah, but crying has different, so there's subcategories of crying. You know, what type of sound? What am I producing? What's the Maisa Mitzvah? The Maisa Mitzvah is open-ended Maisa Mitzvah. I mean, I was trying to think of examples of that. I couldn't really come up with any. I mean, you could say it's like it says, you say take a lulav. So how long? It could be a 4th tefachim or 5 tefachim or 6, you know, but that's all just a quantitative difference. But here, it would seem to be that there's a different cry, different type of sound. So what's the sound? What is the sound of true? What's the sound of the cry? Is it this kind of cry? Is it this kind of cry? Or is it the experience of crying? I mean, they're different. So it's not just a matter of, certain things just don't matter. Take a lulav. Well, how should it smell? It doesn't matter how it smells. It's not part of the mitzvah. So, I mean, certain things just don't matter. But, I mean, here, it seemed to be a cry. There are different types of cries. They're different qualities. So it just seems funny to say, the Torah said, oh, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Right? I mean, I'm not positive that's a problem, but it sounds difficult to me. It sounds like Rav Haigon needs defense. Mars says maybe this is a good approach, is that Mars saying is that maybe the essence of true is broken sound, so it's just more or less broken. But the point is you have straight sound, you have broken sound, so it's just a matter of quantity. So just like you say lulav, it doesn't matter how long the lulav is a lulav. So is it longer or shorter? I mean, there's a minimum length, but after that, it's fine. You say the quality is a broken sound, so who really cares? It's not really different kinds of cries, it's not really relevant. The point is it's a broken sound. Whereas maybe the other us would say, no, it's a certain cry. This kind of cry, that kind of cry, it's a different cry. You could say that. You could go that way. But I was thinking perhaps a different idea, kind of related to something we said once, is that the Kiyam HaMitzvah, according to the Kiyam HaMitzvah, is really, it doesn't, for instance, it doesn't really say, blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say that. Or listen to, it doesn't even say listen to shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It says Yom Teruah Yalecha. It's a day of Teruah. The day of cry. The day of Teruah. So the action, the role of the action is really to produce a certain type of Yom. So the role of the Maisa of here blowing the shofar, of hearing the shofar, is not per se. The Kiyam is not in the hearing. But it's to produce a Yom Teruah. And how do you create a Yom Teruah? Through a certain amount of sounds. Okay, but he holds that the essential Kiyam HaMitzvah is in producing Yom Teruah, a day of crying. And the day of crying comes through three cries. Okay, three cries surrounded by tekiyos or whatever, right? But since the essence of the mitzvah is to produce the Yom Teruah, the day of crying, maybe he argues is that the particular type of cry which is used is not relevant. Because either any of them will produce the quality of Yom Teruah, the day of crying. See, if the essence of the mitzvah is the form, the maisa mitzvah, the action of blowing, so you say, well, blow what? What's the form? What action is the Torah mandating? The different actions. This is one action, this is another action. Which action is the mitzvah? But if you say that the essence of the mitzvah is not really to do action acts, but it's to create a Yom Teruah, and the way you had action, then the actions are measured by, do they create a Yom Teruah, or do they not create a Yom Teruah? So since they all share the characteristic of a cry, so therefore when you do these actions, as long as it produces the characteristic of a Yom Teruah, so then it will be sufficient. Right? But if it's a formalized action, and the mitzvah is the action per se, and it's intrinsically, so then it has to be very specific. Which action is it? The different actions. Like, the questions are like, what are they arguing? Like, they're arguing whether the mitzvah is to produce Yom Teruah. Like, presumably everyone agrees with the idea of Yom Teruah, and everyone agrees with Maisa Mitzvah. So I'm not sure exactly, like, how to like, pin it down. Like, I don't know if you want to say that this all does not. Not like it's not the producing Yom Teruah. No din of producing. It could be the others say the Yom Teruah results. It's not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do Maisa Tekiyos. And it produces the Kiyam, it results in the Yom Teruah. Whereas the Rebbe Rav Haigon is the essence of the mitzvah is really producing the Yom Teruah. And it's just via the Tekiyah, the Teruah. But it's not essentially to do Maisa Teruah. Could be. It's a big question, though. But it is a big question. It's a big factual question. I'm saying is like, here's my point, is that an action, Shvarim and Teruah are totally different actions. But in the characteristic of the day as a day of crying, you don't say it's a day of Shvariming and a day of Teruah. It's a day of crying, they're cries. But the action isn't crying, the action is a certain type of a blow. And they're different blows, they're totally different actions. But if you say the Kiyam is not in the action is just a vehicle of producing the day, so what's the day? What do you mean a day? A day of what? It's a day of crying. So these are particular types of cries that you do, but it's the day will have that character, whatever kind of cry you do, it doesn't really make a difference. If there's a certain amount of them, because that's how you characterize the day. Without a sufficient quantity, it's not going to be, it doesn't characterize the day. But the particular kind, and that's why Quanto Raigun, you can mix and match also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you mix and match. You do one Tshara, one Tasha, one Tashra, it's all, it doesn't matter, they're all crying. Because the form is not the key, it's not the key. But if the mitzvah is do action X, then what action? How can you say do action X? You don't tell me what action. Isn't Teruah and Shvarim, they're different actions. They're done totally differently, they're different blowings, they're all totally different. But the characteristic of the day is not a day of action X, it's a day of the cry. When you're defining it based on the day, then the particular becomes like blurred over, and it just goes by the not anything. You don't say it's a day of doing this very specific action. Characterizing the day goes by the generic category, character of the action. character of the action is crying.
What would
the other side will say, the Naravagan will say that the mitzvah is really to do a maisa tekiyas, a certain type of an action. And that's, it's a key, there's a goal that it produces a Yom Teruah. But not that the mitzvah is to produce a Yom Teruah. I'm saying the Chiddush of Ravagon is that is the mitzvah. It's not just like an added, but according to others, it's like an added benefit. It's a key, the mitzvah of the day, the Maisa HaMitzvah realizes an objective of creating a Yom Teruah. So there's an ultimate objective that you have a Yom Teruah. But the mitzvah is Maisa HaMitzvah. According to Ravagon, it's like the mitzvah is to produce a Yom Teruah. And the mitzvah is really just like a vehicle. So whichever way you'll produce it, it's still the same thing. Point to us, no, the mitzvah is really a mitzvah, it's just that the kiyum of that is that you end up producing Yom Teruah. So if you produce Yom Teruah without the mitzvah, you end up with the mitzvah. So it's the day of crying, oh, who cares? I mean, it's very nice, but it's like you have the realization without the mitzvah.
And that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, it's a broad question. I think it could affect other sukkahs and whatever, but on the other hand, it is very broad. I mean, look at the facts. I mean, what more major? I mean, everything we've been saying is not Ravagon. I mean, everything we've been talking about, unless is this a true, is that a true, is this a true? Ravagon saying everything's a true. So, I mean, what broader? I mean, what have we said so far, which Ravagon would agree with? I mean, it's so fundamentally different, right? I mean, the whole sukkah has been about what's really true. It's true, you might agree with the Yehuda thing, that could be
right, that
the relationship between Tekiyah and Shura, right, that's true, that's not, yeah, that was what I was saying.
What about Cedar too?
Cedar, okay, so I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the point is that these, definitely, everything about what Shura is totally different than according to Ravagon. All the different questions about Shura, which we've been discussing, is totally different according to Ravagon, so it is a major question. But still, you don't have to be shaky about it because, you know, they may affect other sugyas, which presumably it will. I mean, Ravagon's going to have to learn many sugyas very differently, you know, based on this. He will. I mean, it's factually, things aren't going to work out. Like the Shvarim being a hefsek in the Tshuva, what hefsek? What do I mean? They're Tshuva and Tshuva all the same thing. They're all Tshuva. Who really cares? But I mean, a lot of these discussions have to be revised.
No.
Okay, so this is it, basically. So I guess after the Yom Tov, I plan on starting the second Berakah Beitzah from the beginning of the Berakah. Yeah.